Morning. It's good to see each one here. I want to greet you in Christ's name and also welcome our visitors that are here. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, just thank you for being a good God, for being a great and awesome holy God. And Lord, I just pray that we would humble our hearts before you this morning, that we would not think more of ourselves than we ought to think, but that you would forgive us, Lord, for where we fail. That we would never forget the grace that you've given to us. But Lord, that we would take that grace and that we would do good, that we would go on from here and live lives that are holy and pleasing to you. I pray, Lord, as we study this passage of Scripture, that you would open our hearts and minds, help us to learn, and be encouraged to follow you. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, so I guess you know I've been going through Proverbs on my own, I guess. And so I want to preach out of Proverbs 31 this morning. And boy, have I been looking forward to this. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What does that mean? Do you as women pursue favor? Do you covet the good graces of others? Do you want others to look at you and favor you? Or do you pursue beauty? Have you ever thought about it that favor is a liar? And that if you pursue beauty, it's like you're pursuing the wind. And we'll talk about more when we get to that verse. But I want to just read the whole chapter and then we'll kind of go through it. So Proverbs 31, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb and the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax. She worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So I want to study the entire chapter this morning, but I want to start with a virtuous woman, then we'll come back to the first 10 verses later. But the part about the virtuous woman, verses 10 through 31, is an acrostic poem. So that it means that each verse, starting at verse 10, verse 10 starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it goes down through each letter. And I want to go through each verse. So verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man will proclaim his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? So a lot of men will say how good they are, and that, yeah, they're faithful, and they love, and they do a good job. But Solomon says that, but a faithful man is really hard to find. And that's basically what he's saying here in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her value is, it's priceless. It's way above rubies. And that word virtue, who can find a virtuous woman, that means, it's kind of a big word, but it means strength, valor, able, wealth, virtue, valiant. So it means a force of these things, not just a little bit, but an overwhelming force. So a wealth of virtue is how you should think about it. And the value of that is much higher than a wealth of rubies. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. So her husband trusts in her, and it's an easy trust. He safely trusts in her. And because of her, he has no lack of good things. So he doesn't need any spoil. Or you could say, that's kind of how it's written, he doesn't need any spoil. But I think the better way of saying it would be that he doesn't lack any spoil. He doesn't lack any of the good things. And again, speaking to the value of this virtue, it's so good that he has no lack of good things. Verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So that's a big statement. What is good? What is evil? And I think the writer is kind of giving an overview, kind of the opening about a virtuous woman here in the first three verses. But the point is, I think in the first three, maybe in the, I think the thing that we can get is that she is faithful. She is a faithful woman. Her love is faithful. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's a diligent worker. She's not afraid to work hard. Proverbs 19, verse 24 says, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, or some translations would say he puts his hand in the dish, and he will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. So he's so lazy that he's hungry and he wants to eat something, and he reaches for the food and he gets it and he just holds it there in his hand. And he just, he's so lazy. That's not the virtuous woman. She'll go far to bring food to her household if that's what it takes. She'll put the work in it takes to bring and to supply for her family. She gets up early. She's not slothful or lazy. She's a diligent, hardworking lady that cares for the needs of her people, for her family. Not just her family, but her servants as well. So most women would, if they have a servant, hey, servant, I want the breakfast to be ready at 7 o'clock. And so the woman gets up, she gets dressed, and she goes out, and there's breakfast ready for her. Like, it's all about the woman, right? It's all about making sure that she is set for the day. Her servants take care of all her needs. Well, that's not what the virtuous woman is doing. The virtuous woman is getting up early herself and making sure that her children, her husband, and her servants are equipped for the day. So when their servants come out of their room ready to work, their food is there waiting for them. And that way she serves her people. So she has a servant heart. And I guess I want to ask you, as women, how can you serve those around you like that? How can you set up your people that you're around, that you influence? How can you set them up for success? Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. So she's industrious. She's not afraid to do big things. And I want you to think big in this part. She considers a field and buys it, and she plants a vineyard. She's strong and confident, and she's a light to those around her, a light that's a beacon of strength. Think bold and confident. She's steadfast and unmoving. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So we just saw industrious, big, bold, confident. Now we're seeing humility. So she does the big things, but she's also not too lowly, or she's not too great to do the lowly things. Spinning. She reaches down to the poor and needy, and not to despise them or to hold them at length. So she stretches out her hand to them and pulls them up, bringing them up to her level. So she's humble. She doesn't have a high view of herself. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. So, think royalty. So she's not, she has class, is maybe a way to say it. And I think there's a reason that this follows humility, because she's definitely humble, but at the same time, her husband sits in the gate, a very influential position. And I suppose that could be done in pride or humility, but I think I want you to think royalty. Think well-dressed, looking nice, practical. Their clothes were warm. Think of attractive, but not in a sensual way, but in a godly way. Think honor. She was worthy of honor. But with her trying to think how to say this. Well, we are children of God, okay? And I think we should live like we're children of God. And we should have a certain amount of honor in the way we live and make the gospel attractive to people. So we dress nicely, we speak nicely, we should have good manners, we should make the gospel attractive because we're children of the King. And I see that here, that her clothing is silk and purple. Like her lifestyle is attractive to people around it. And I don't look at that saying, well, she was dressing sensually or like the world or whatever. No, she was dressing really well, and it was a good thing. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. So she dresses in a way that's good and humble, but yet her adorning, you could say, is strength and honor. And she's not afraid of the future. She rejoices to think of what the future holds. It's not fear. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So if you study wisdom, you'll find that wisdom is almost inseparable from God. Like wisdom existed back before the world did. That's what Proverbs says. That God used wisdom when he established the earth. And wisdom comes from God. And so you think of the virtuous woman as speaking wisdom, that she speaks the words of God. When she opens her mouth, kindness comes out. But she thinks and talks as God does. Verse 27, She looketh well to the ways of her household and needeth not the bread of idleness. So again, diligent in her concern for her people. In verse 28 and 29, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And verse 29 is what her husband says. So her husband also, and he praiseth her, and he says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. So because of her virtues, she's honored. And yeah, it's a good thing. So in looking down through this, I picked out 9 things. There's more, I think, but I just grabbed 9 of them. And remember that the word virtue means a force of it, a wealth of it. So as we read down through these things, I want you to think about, you ladies here, I want you to think about how well you're doing as a godly woman. So number 1, she's faithful to her husband. 2, she works diligently and happily. 3, she finds ways to equip and serve those around her. Number 4, she's strong and confident. Number 5, she is humble and compassionate towards the poor. 6, she is well prepared. 7, she's honorable. 8, she's well dressed, but her adorning is strength and honor. 9, she is full of wisdom and kindness. So how are you doing in these things? Now, you don't have to learn to spin to be humble, okay? And it's interesting, I was doing a little bit of research, and I guess, like, the spindle and distaff is actually a sign of humility, supposedly. And so you'll see, like, if you look at some women saints, pictures of them or whatever, there's pictures of them holding the distaff and spindle or whatever. But that's not the point. You don't have to spin to be humble. The question is, are you being humble? Are you doing things in humility? You don't need to go to, I don't know, Minnesota to buy food and bring it back to your house, okay? Like, going far for food is not the point. The point is that we're diligent and we do what it takes, even if you have to do a lot of work to provide. But the conclusion then is, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So favor is deceitful. It's a liar. And favor is not honest. Beauty is vain. Chasing beauty is like chasing the wind. So I want to first kind of address the women here, but I am going to come back around and talk to the men here in the room as well. But I think for us all, so these aren't women's struggles, okay? These are things that we all struggle with. To seek after favor or seek after beauty is not just a women issue. but I think just like men will push and shove for influence and power, women will too. But we want to be liked. We like to be favored. We want to be in the good graces of others. We want to be part of the good crowd, the in crowd. Here's 2 things that I see. So women may seek after the favor of those around him. That's easy to say. They seek after the approval of others. Instead of measuring yourself on virtue, how are you doing in godliness, you measure yourself on how others view you, or whether others favor you or not, or maybe on whether other influential people favor you or not. So this woman is pursuing the favor of others. It's how she measures herself. It's how she knows if she's doing a good job in her life or not. If she's doing well and others accept her and favor her, then she has praise in her own mind. That's her self-approval. So a woman may tend to seek out other influential people and charm them. And in this way, charm is very deceptive. want you to think about that. So you may have two people who are charming each other to gain influence, and it might not be real. It might be a lie. So they are pursuing the favor of others. And the BSB says this verse like this: charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So you're looking for praise. Don't measure yourself on how others think you're doing or on how many friends you have. Women also tend to pursue beauty. And the Easy English says it like this, and I don't recommend the Easy English translation for your Bible study, but this was kind of funny to me. But the Easy English says it like this: a beautiful woman may not be honest, and she may not be beautiful when she is old, but all men speak well about a woman who is afraid of the Lord. And I think that well explains the vanity of chasing beauty, because it's not something we can grasp. Like, it changes. What we like, what we think is beautiful, can change. And then we get old. And then what? Which is of more value, beauty or virtue? And if you think about that, so the men in the room, which would you choose if you had to choose between the two? Now, hopefully you don't. Hopefully you can get both and, not either or. But if you think about what you would look for in a woman, maybe you young men specifically, are you going to look for beauty or are you going to look for integrity and virtue? Is it true that all men speak well about a virtuous woman or a woman that fears the Lord? I don't know. I would say all good men do. If you want to marry a good man, all good men will recognize virtue and will praise it. Give her her fruit, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And I think this context helps us understand some other verses in the New Testament then, in thinking about what a virtuous woman looks like. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10 says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." So I'm going to change some of these things. So modest does not mean well covered necessarily. It means orderly or decorous. I think I'm saying that right. So in other words, that in like manner also that women adorn themselves in orderly, nice apparel with shamefacedness or with reverence and sobriety or self-control, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but with good works. So Paul is instructing Timothy on this, that a woman's focus should be on becoming a virtuous woman, not getting distracted on outward looks. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4 says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation or conduct of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation or conduct coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." So in this verse that beauty is vain, chasing beauty is like chasing the wind, there's something of much more value to pursue and grow in. Now, I believe that we should dress in neat, attractive ways, but not attractive in a sensual way. Attractive in a neat, orderly, cheerful, appropriate way. And what does the world know about how to honor God with our dress? And let your godliness be a source of praise. Now, I'd like to go back to the start. And I wanted to start out by talking about the virtuous woman. And I wanted you to think about that and think about these virtues and how well you're doing, and and all these things, because now I want to go back to the start and add some context. And it really opened my eyes to what was going on here. And it uncovers the evil of sin. And it shows the danger and the horror of pursuing favor and beauty. And I also, at this point, I want to address the men, because this first part is directed towards men. You know, you might think that Proverbs 31 is a man telling a woman how they should be, and that's not the case. This is a woman telling a man how it should be, how a woman should be. More specifically, this is a mother instructing her son on how a woman should be. So take this as a woman, as an older, mature woman telling you this, because that's exactly what it is. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Well, who is King Lemuel? Does anybody know? So I think most people would agree that this is Solomon, the words of King Solomon. So it's interesting, like if you look it up in the Strong's, that's what it says, and a lot of commentators would agree. Lemuel means, let me back up. So David and Bathsheba sinned, and they had a child, and the child died from the judgment of God. And it was a big deal. David fasted and wept, I think, for 7 days, and the child died. And, of course, there was repentance going on during this time, and, yeah, it was not a good time for David. Or you could say it was a beautiful time for him, if repentance is beautiful, which I guess it is. But, anyways, there's a lot going on. And then David and Bathsheba had another son, and David called his name Solomon, which is peaceful. And I think that's really intriguing that he would call his son's name peaceful after coming out of such a tumultuous time. But God sent Nathan the prophet to David and Bathsheba, to Solomon, and God gave Solomon his own name, Jedidiah, which means beloved of Yahweh. So I believe that through this, I think David and Bathsheba knew that they were forgiven. Like it was a neat thing, I think. And Lemuel means, let me find it here. I think it means like belonging to God. Yeah, Lemuel means belonging to God. And I saw there's some commentators that would think that this was an endearing term that his mother would have called him, because of who he was and what he signified. Like it was another child that God blessed them with. We're at peace with God now. We're going to call him peaceful. And God comes and says, he is beloved of me. And whoo, we're okay with God now after our sin. And so Bathsheba would have called him Lemuel, or belonging to God. Now I want you to listen to what she says to him. What, my son? So this word what is an exclamation. It's used in other parts of Scripture as like you would think, like, what were you thinking? Or how did this happen? So it should be read like this. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So Solomon needed that. So if you go to, and don't turn here, stay here in Proverbs. 1 Kings chapter 11, but verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So Solomon's mother was rebuking him and saying, how did this happen? Solomon, you belong to God, and you've done this horrible thing. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. So it was a firm rebuke from Bathsheba to her son Solomon. Or that's what it would appear. Now, does any of you find it interesting that Bathsheba is talking about what a virtuous woman should look like? She had not been a virtuous woman. She had not been faithful. Do you think that she wept when she wrote the part that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil? When her husband, she had been unfaithful to him. She bathed on a rooftop and had an affair with King David. She was not faithful to her husband. She was not honorable. And she could say to Solomon, I know the end of seeking favor. I know the damage that charming someone can do. I know how beauty is vain. Because in the end, it didn't matter how beautiful she was. And the Bible talks about Bathsheba, that she was very beautiful. But in the end, it didn't matter. It mattered what God thought. So now do you understand the weightiness of this teaching and why we need to pay attention and live it out? And I said I want to address the men, and I guess I want you young men to think about this. And take Bathsheba's advice to heart. So it feels really good to be charmed. It feels really good to have a beautiful girl give you attention and make you feel good. But it's deceptive, and don't buy into it. Proverbs talks about, and I didn't look up the verse, I'm not sure where, but I think it talks about a froward woman, or a woman who is evil that's beautiful is like a pig with a nose ring. So look for something deeper. Look for character. Look for virtue. And if you do, if you find a virtuous woman, you'll have treasure worth far more than anything else you own. And I think sometimes that girls struggle with this because that's what we as men reward. We reward the beauty. We reward the charm. And I think we need to stop doing that. So I don't know. I guess to summarize, I think that it's a powerful chapter on redemption. I think it's so encouraging to see that Bathsheba wrote this. And that it was such a change in her life. To me, it makes the message of the virtuous woman a lot more powerful. If we live foolishly, we'll suffer for it. If we do wrong, we'll suffer the consequences. But Bathsheba puts on display the opposite of that. Like if you do good, if you choose good, look at the good that will happen. And it seems like Bathsheba made that change. It's interesting, later on in life, when it was time for Solomon to become king, there was I'm not going to remember the other son of David's name who was promoting himself to be king, and then she went to Solomon, but Nathan the prophet trusted her, David trusted her, and Solomon got the throne. It seemed like she was a woman that could be trusted then. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her value is far above rubies. And I guess I want to leave you with the last verse here. And I want you to think about Bathsheba writing this. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Someone who had done horrible things and repented and changed. She had suffered. She had had bitter fruit from the works of her hands. But she also reaped really good things after she made a change. May God bless you.